Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And now to our first guest this morning, Jamie Oliver. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you. A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been celebrating a big anniversary this year, Jamie. It's 25 years since The Naked Chef launched into the public consciousness with your own unique energy and vibrancy and clanging pots and assembled friends. And when you look back and now watch that old footage, are you nostalgic for the past of 25 years ago?
Yeah. Nostalgic, exhausted, excited, grateful. I mean, I was just a big old lump of hair and big pair of lips and just saying pucker a lot and nice one and bash it. And you know, I was just being my age. I was 25, 24 when we filmed The Naked Chef and 25 when it went out. And, you know, it was also an interesting time. It was kind of, you know, that time where, you know, seems to be a good energy around the world and sort of music and culture and art, and everything seemed to be like a bit more fun. I don't know. And I was sort of part of that, which was about getting men back in the kitchen, or actually not back in the kitchen, getting men in the kitchen.
And you mentioned the fun and the joy you brought to cooking, because you did change the face of cooking at that time, especially, as you say, with young men, getting them into the kitchen. When you think about how you were perceived then and now, and even maybe how you've changed the perception of cooking for men, do you think it has massively evolved over the 25 years?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that are changing constantly and some things that maybe didn't work, but definitely the idea of getting men in the kitchen, we succeeded on. Like, I even today, I had a guy come up to me and just say, I just want to say a massive thank you for inspiring me and getting me in the kitchen. And, you know, my wife thanks you and thank you for getting me laid. I mean, it was literally that. And, but I think, you know, the idea of using cooking, not just to nourish you, but also create moments and also tell people that you love them, whether it's your partner or your family or your kids or your best friends. So, and also not letting age be something that defines that. You know, obviously, Naked Chef was 24 when he started. And I was just showing that you could have a party in your own home. You didn't need to go to a bar or a restaurant.
But back then, would you have gotten grief from men saying you've just added another thing to the long list?
Yeah, I mean, men are much simpler creatures to women, as you probably know. And the first 2 years of my sort of TV, I guess, fame career was quite bumpy with men. They thought I was competition and they thought that I was the enemy and they thought that I got them into trouble, because a lot of women were saying, look, we're both doing a 12-hour day, 10-hour day, but you can actually contribute to the home and you can cook. So some of it was like, you know, thanks to you, you've got me pushed into the kitchen. But after about a year and a half, I started to realize that they started to soften me and not see me as like the bad guy. They actually saw me as an ally. And like the guy said to me today, you know, thank you for, you know, making me hook up with my girlfriend better and be more romantic. And I really do believe in that. And even when I did live demonstrations, it went from 99% women to 50-50 within about 2 years.
There's legacy and impact right there, Jamie Oliver. And in this era of nostalgia, as you're celebrating 25 years of Naked Chef, we're also preparing ourselves for the Oasis return. And you certainly had your run with them over the 25 years, particularly in the 90s.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it was all the same energy, and obviously over the years crossed their paths many times. But I mean, Liam used to hang out in my local pub opposite where I used to live, and he used to bang on my door and shout in the letterbox, like asking for bacon sandwiches and stuff. So
Didn't invite him in over the years? No.
No, I had to tell him to behave himself because I was trying to put the kids to bed. And he's like, all right, mate, sound. But, you know, I mean, it is nostalgic. It is nice. It is great that, you know, Oasis and various other bands are kind of coming back and having that second wind.
And up to current day, Jamie, congratulations. You published a new book this week, Simply Jamie. And, you know, reading it this week, and I tried out a few recipes, I was really reminded of, you know, we can be so time poor. We're busy people, busy lives, and we're having to constantly multitask. But I think the brilliance of your book is trying to make the right thing easy, isn't it? And trying to find the joy and the fun in food again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always tried ultimately to do the same thing, but the audience and the target has changed. You know, in the Naked Chef days 25 years ago, the average time spent on cooking dinner was 46 minutes, and now it's 23 minutes, and that was before COVID. Data says it's probably more like 21 or 19 minutes. So we know a lot, we see a lot, we scroll a lot, but actually, as far as skin on skin doing it, we've never cooked less than now. And you could say, well, why bother? And I think we have to bother. Like, I think we're having an incredible digital revolution, the Uberization of food, the delivery services, our relationship with food. So I try and write, I mean, I wanted this to be, in some respects, like the greatest hits. And in other respects, it needed to be the simplest book I've ever written, because clearly we need to sort of get people cooking from a generation that aren't cooking, or certainly aren't cooking as much. And that's a fact. So hopefully I've tried to not scare you with too many words, not scare you with too many ingredients, give you a nice mixture of healthy and indulgent recipes, you know, cover veggie, vegan, fish and meat, and also price. You know, price is really, really important. I was doing a demonstration today, beautiful chicken tray bake with noodles and gochujang, and it was like coming out £1.90 a portion. And I think that is when you start talking the language that, you know, hopefully I can tell the story slightly differently. And I think, you know, like anything in life, the way you tell the story or play the chords or express film or art, you do it differently. Like time does change things.
But how do you compete? Like if people have 21 minutes in their day to make the food, or they can go into the shop with their shopping basket and just mindlessly put in that basket, for convenience, ready-made products. Like, what is your call to action, do you think, that convinces people, no, take the 21 minutes, make it from scratch?
Absolutely. Like, what I try and do in this book, there's only five chapters, right? So midweek meals. So we're talking about, you know, 10, 15, 20-minute meals, stuff that's really easy. I've broken it down into sort of like many things to do with chicken breasts, because I know that's what you buy, and inspire you with little things that make a big difference. Many things to do with salmon fillets and keep you going. The trusty tray bakes is a whole chapter where you put great combinations together and let the oven do all the hard work. You know, I've got Weekend Wins, which is basically about batch cooking and save, you know, putting love into things where you can save time multiple times, and fridge or freezer things. So I think like how you design it, how you word it, the combinations you use is important, but how you sort of express it in pictures and step by steps, I try and make it. I really think more than anything, like knowing the basics of how to cook is giving you as a human choices. And whether you have money or you don't have money, if you can cook, you have choices.
And you talked there about the, you know, giving people the basics, the simplicity of it, make the right thing easy. But it strikes me it's about rituals and habits. Like, you clearly have your flow and rhythm on a Sunday afternoon. It's your glass of wine, you're putting on the tunes, and you go down to business in terms of stockpiling for the week ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Because you want, you know, I've got five kids. I've got a busy life. I'm putting in a shift. So I don't just cook beautifully like every single day. Like sometimes I've got no time. Sometimes I have got time. Sometimes I want little shortcuts. Sometimes I want stuff in, you know, the idea of putting love into something and having little envelopes of beautiful stuff in the freezer that will kind of help you very quickly get a meal in 15, 20 minutes. This, you know, I love the idea that food can be the gift that keeps on giving. So, I think part of it's also your mindset and how you organize yourself. And ultimately, what I do know, and I truly believe, is if you can cook, if you've got the basics of cooking, then you can, you know, nourish us. You can have delicious food. You can have amazing moments. You can save money, and you can kind of make yourself healthier. And I think that's really, really powerful and important.
And I'm sure part of the staple diet in a household with five kids is the spaghetti bolognese. You've got a twist on it. Tell us a little bit about your bolognese cheesy bolognese buns, with emphasis on the buns there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what we did in batch cook is I tried to do like a batch of bolognese. I know this is something that everyone cooks a bolognese, right? But when I've looked at people cooking bolognese in many households, which I have, partly the method's not quite right. Like, they get boiling things very quickly, which kind of gives you an all right product. But just cooking it correctly, getting the color on it really, really beautifully, you know, that old fashioned and quite historic way of, you know, using beans as well. So you're getting that meat, you're still using meat, but you're getting that meat reduction. Having a recipe that's great. But then once you have that big batch, I show you different ways to express it. So from doing, you know, beautiful, you know, with a little bit of spice and black beans and noodles, you create one dish, and then like stuffing it into peppers, you have another. The one that you mentioned was the cheesy bolognese buns, which is you just take a regular bap, you know, take the top off, hull it out, stuff it, cheese in the oven, and the most incredible thing comes before you, you know, using pancakes and tortillas, phyllo pastry to make little samosas and adding sort of halloumi and peas and spice. You know, there's so many things. Like one of my favorite things to do with the bolognese is literally just put gnocchi. And it doesn't have to be homemade gnocchi. It can be the pre-bought ones. You just put gnocchi and pesto bombs on top and rattle it in the oven. And that's like a big favorite in the house. Kids go wild for it. And we did it for the staff here. We cook for the staff every day, all the teams, and they love that dish.
Tell us about the smash burger. I think it's your favorite, but I bet you say that about lots of your recipes, Jamie Oliver.
They're a bit like my kids. You know, they kind of come in and out of my life. And burgers, interestingly, are not the easiest thing in the world, like to get really good. Getting that kind of char, getting that juiciness, really, really nice. If you look at the smash burger, I mean, that you might have heard about smash burgers like on social and stuff. And it's the idea of instead of having a thick patty, you have a ball of mincemeat, good quality mincemeat. You season it like a steak. You squash it down. But this one has very finely sliced onions at the bottom. The onions become part of it. You press it down and then it's just kind of using, you know, Cajun seasoning and mustard. Like in America, you've probably heard of In-N-Out Burger, and they have like animal style, which is when they brush it with mustard. And then when you flip it onto that side, it kind of cooks like a crust into the burger. So very simple, humble ingredients, you know, mincemeat, onions, you know, a bit of seasoning and mustard. But then the method, you know, and a couple of pickles just gives you this perfectly formed burger. And I think, interestingly, like I have done burgers which are really impressive and big and stacked, but when they're just perfect and you can get them in your mouth, like I always think that that's always the best one. But yeah, like from the burger to, you know, food that you've maybe never tried before, plenty of veggie dishes, fish dishes. I'm very aware that most of us don't have enough oily fish. So I always, you know, wherever the gaps are in our diet, I try and use those ingredients and sort of feature them heavily in the books.
All of which requires us to have those some go-to bits and pieces in the cupboard. And yeah. I wondered if you could give us maybe 2-3 things, just go-to items that we need to have stocked in there all the time.
Yeah, well, I think we've got a little bit called bigging up beans. And both of our countries, we're deficit in fibre every single day. And that just means we're less healthy and it's pro more certain diseases. So like getting more beans into our life is, from a nutritional point of view, is a really important thing. In the Mediterranean, which I've travelled many, many times, they're so good at it. So you'll see an array of very, very quick bean recipes that you can use as a main dish or as part of a dish, or under a beautiful protein or roasted piece of meat or fish. You'll go through and you'll see things like, you know, quick breakfasts. You'll see like little twists on things like, say, the classic jalapeno chilies that we all know and we have. And I won't mention the brand, but they're in every single corner shop. And I'm showing you little tweaks on how you can turn that into an amazing sauce with mint, whizzing it up. And then it kind of creates this sauce that you can use on a myriad of things, from scrambled eggs to cheese toasties to baked feta and lovely punchy prawns. Then we kind of go into things like, you know, bigging up chickpeas, which are really, really cheap and you know, different things you can do with that, which are delicious. And then even things like tortillas, which a lot of us, we open a pack and then often, you know, one of the biggest wasted things that we have is bread, and tortillas are in that. So using tortillas almost like lasagna sheets and, you know, kind of like enchiladas and burritos, but also there's even a dessert that I do with tortillas, which is one of my kids' favorites, believe it or not. Yeah, Nutella, ice cream, banana wrapped in tortillas, 3.5 minutes, and literally the kids go wild. And yes, it is that simple. But, you know, so some things feel like exciting and a bit posh, and some things are super humble and really accessible, and I try and get that mix.
And the central thesis, though, underlying all of this, the why, of course you want to make cooking fun and enjoyable, but it's about the health and well-being of all of our loved ones and citizens and communities. And you've thought a lot about that through your books, but also really played a huge part in your advocacy in schools and thinking about the nutritional value there. And in terms of your work with schools and school meals, you're kind of going back to now the basics of trying to get kids to cook from scratch. And I wonder for people listening today, like, do you think there is a particular age where you need to create the habit, the mindset, the love, the joy of cooking for all our schoolgoers?
Look, I think if you really look at it, and I'm sure some of your listeners will be like primary school teachers, you know, that kind of, how can you describe it? That sort of learning to climb climbing frames and trees and playing sports, you know, all of these things are about kind of getting to know your body and balance and all of those kind of motor skills. And I think cooking is just part of that. You know, we want primary school kids to have enough interaction with food and where it comes from and how it affects their body in a really healthy way. They don't have to have massive, long cookery classes, but the idea of like having fruit of the week and sitting around in a circle and just peeling a fruit and trying a different fruit every single week, because kids aren't born to eat nuggets and pizza. That's called marketing. And marketing is about repeat, 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 not scared, not scared, not scared, and I'll try it. So science says that, you know, normally when you have 14 pieces of exposure to something, you try it. And then once you've tried it, if it's decent and it tastes nice, they'll try it again, and then it becomes a habit. So as parents, and certainly as governments and schools, as we look at the health of our kids deteriorate and get worse, and the cost of that, you know, in productivity of our adults and the cost to the health services, you know, we have to start thinking about prevention. So for me, I just think it's a win-win. Like, you know, if you're celebrating your heritage and your culture and Irishness, then food is the way, and farming is the way, and appreciation for your landscape, and being normal about meat and fish and vegetables and fruit, and, you know, growing fruit trees in schools instead of like random bushes. Like, there's really clever ways that we can all, as a society, just make our kids exposed to more of the good stuff and hopefully grow up to be more natural about it.
Because you obviously handed down that love, the energy to your son, Buddy Oliver, 13. He has his own CBBC cooking show now, Cooking Buddies. Are you hoping he might become your 25-year-old self?
He did that series last year. And as any parent out there will know of boys, when he was 13 when he did it, maybe like late 12, and now he's 14, he's very embarrassed about the whole thing. He's all into his sport. But no, he doesn't want to be his dad. He doesn't want to be a chef, but he can cook. And he's always been very nimble with a knife and prepping and cooking. And he's confident with fire and safety in a kitchen. And he loves food. And actually, he's not well today, flu or something, but he sent me he's fine, but he just sent me a little picture. And like, it was a nice little lunch. Do you know what I mean? He rattled out a nice little lunch. He's only 14 and he can rattle out a good meal. And I think all of us parents want our kids, you know, the question is if you left your kids on an island on their own, could they actually feed themselves and
survive? Could they be self-sufficient, yeah. And just finally, Jamie Oliver, like, you've been reflecting on the last 25 years. When you do a little bit of crystal ball gazing now about the next 25 years, what's to come? Are you going to retire to a local family-owned pub maybe in the countryside? Is that part of the retirement plan, or what comes next?
I don't know. I mean, I think the way things are going and the way I'm sort of designing my life, obviously, I want to slow down maybe in 7 years' time. I do want to make... I'm really proud. If you go through the list of things that I've done through documentaries and campaigns and TV shows, I am super proud of what I've done. But I'm also... like, I know it's just the tip of the iceberg. I know that there's another 90% to achieve. And I'm hoping that a slightly older Jamie and a bit of a wiser Jamie, I can use my platform to get some proper fundamental change in the way that we look at food and farming and kids and advertising to kids and protecting our kids and child health. There's such a lot of good work to be done. And what's right for us is right for you guys as well. Like, you know, we can't have the best sporting events owned by junk food. We can't have every single place we go owned by junk food. Like, we need to rebalance. And We have to anyway, because our health services can't afford it. So we will go too far and we'll have to rebalance whether we like it or not. But I hope that in the next 10 years we can... I had a report today where we're starting to see a curve for the first time of the rise of childhood obesity. Mm. And this is really profound. And I wish this for us. And we continue that curve and then we bounce back. And when we're looking to halve childhood obesity by 2030. And just for context, that's the same health statistics as the millennia, 2000. So all of this kind of bad news has happened in the last 30 years. So it is reversible. It really is, I promise you. But also, I think it's about being British. It's about being Irish. It's about having respect and being proud of food, not just modern food and new inventions, but also the food of the past. So I hope that I get a bit more done. I think I can do more, and I'd like to do more, and I'd like to really amplify young talent and inspired people and the next generation. I think I get the most pleasure from not talking about myself, funnily enough. I know it might surprise you, but actually the most natural, exciting thing I do is celebrating new people coming through that are really committed to food. And and I hope as I get older, I can do less hours and maybe just concentrate on cooking in one restaurant.
Well, good for you with the pride and purpose and passion still intact all 25 years later. Jamie Oliver, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck with all that comes next.
Thank you so much. Look after yourself.
And Simply Jamie is published by Penguin and is available now.